Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to a Game 1 recap of the NBA Finals on the NBA Outlet. How we doing, guys?
Fantastic. We had a very good Game 1. The Raptors came out and struck first. I was pretty happy.
I'm happy, too. It was a really good game. Usually, it was close for most of the game, so nothing to complain about. The Raptors deserve this W.
Yeah, and to give you guys a quick introduction that I skipped, I'm Nick Fay. That's Corey Waldron and Jorge Cantu. And you can check out the show, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And we are recapping Game 1. The Raptors pick up the W tonight, 118-109 in Toronto. It was a really big win for them, and I felt like a game that they must win if they want to have a chance in the series.
Go ahead, Jorge.
It definitely was. I'll go first. So I think it was really big, the fact that Toronto had home court advantage and entering these NBA finals. It's a great advantage for them. It's really the first time, in this Warriors dynasty that they didn't have home court advantage. So it might have been a little weird for them having to adjust, especially traveling all the way to another country. First time, of course, the finals are not in the U.S. So the Raptors did a great job of taking advantage of this first game at home. They did what they had to do. And if they wanted to have a chance to beat the Raptors, the Warriors, they really had to take at least one of the games at home.
Yeah, I mean, 24 years, the Raptors have been a franchise. It's their first playoff experience. I know Kendrick Perkins had a tweet about how he didn't know if he was at a game, at a club, or at an inauguration because of how juiced up the fans were. Drake was courtside doing the usual stuff, wearing a Dell Curry jersey nonetheless, showing up. I love the antics. It's not disrespectful. I think it's good for the game to have fans that's involved. It's like the Spike Lee days for the Knicks. But then to the actual team of the Raptors, I mean, Danny Green showed up finally. He shot 23% his last 9 playoff games, shot 44% tonight. I thought that was good. Obviously, this was the Siakam game. Kyle Lowry was, I thought, solid dog-like mentality. Kawhi wasn't great. I thought the Raptors really impressed. And it looks like the Warriors need, guess who? Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I feel like the Raptors team really stepped up. It wasn't a huge game from Kawhi. He definitely was a little bit injured, but Siakam had a historical game for himself, 32 points, 14 of 17 from the field. You know, Marcus Gasol contributed, Fred VanVleet, and you mentioned Danny Green, and Kyle Lowry didn't really score, but he was active all over the place. It was just a really good team effort, especially with Kawhi not being amazing from the Raptors side.
Boys, talk about the defense from Toronto. It was crazy. I mean, from Kyle Lowry drawing 2 charges in a single game to the Raptors playing perfect, switching defense on the Warriors, especially down low. The Raptors had 6 blocks compared to the Warriors, 2. So they did a really good job of keeping their hands up on Steph, sitting with Klay. And overall, it was a great showing for them both inside and outside the paint. And the good defense is really what you need when you're trying to beat a team as stacked and as a good and efficient offensively as the Warriors are.
And sorry to cut you off, Corey, and I thought one thing that was really limiting the Warriors was the lineups they could put out there. The spacing wasn't amazing at times. It was really they had one good 3-point shooter. And you mentioned, Jorge, the Raptors playing really good defense. Without the proper spacing against a really good defensive team, you're going to struggle. You know, Iguodala didn't want to shoot threes. Draymond Green didn't want to shoot threes. Just a lot of guys out there weren't shooting, and it was just a lot of attention on Steph.
Yeah, I mean, Iggy, not only did he not want to shoot threes, every time he shot a three, he missed. He was 0-for-4. And you just, like you said, Klay and Curry are the guys to watch on offense, and the Raptors really zoned in out. They dared other guys to beat them. I mean, Draymond Green, once again, he had a lot of wide-open threes that he didn't take himself. I thought the Raptors' defense was superb. And on the other end, especially in the first quarter, most of the first half, the Warriors' defense – yeah, the switching I love to see from them, but at times they were getting lost and guys were getting lost, and the Raptors had a ton of wide open threes in that first quarter, which really gave them, I thought, a lot of momentum early, and they never really lost it.
Yeah, the momentum for the game, it was really impressive for Toronto, and there wasn't ever really a stretch where they went ice cold or the Warriors had one of their super hot streaks where they just kind of turned the game around. And I think that's a lot of credit to them and just stepping up and hitting shots after, Steph might knock down a big three or they get a steal on a fast break. The Raptors responded.
No, I personally think stopping the Warriors in the third quarter is key because we know the Warriors are known for their super big third quarter runs. And they did it. Of course, they don't have Kevin Durant, who is usually one of the leading scorers in those third quarters and those big third quarters. But still, they did a really good job of limiting Steph and Klay. Steph got a couple of buckets to fall early in the third. But I mean, the Raptors did what they had to do. They limited both of the elite three-point shooters in Klay and Steph. Of course, it hurt having Sean Livingston, who is a non-shooter from deep. Iggy and Dre are both hesitant. So the Raptors took their chances, did a great job on both of the elite shooters, and let the rest of the guys beat them, which didn't really happen. So, I mean, really, everything went according to plan for the Raptors.
And we saw turnovers as well. The Warriors had
Oh,
16
yes.
turnovers. The Raptors only had 10. The Warriors can get sloppy with the basketball. I know Draymond had six turnovers himself. Kawhi was really just aggressive on Draymond and really put a lot of pressure on him at times, which made Draymond uncomfortable, clearly. And the Raptors, they're going to take care of the basketball like this. That's how they can win some of these games because this was, once again, it was a kind of a slowed down game. They really didn't let the Warriors get too many chances in transition. The Warriors started to get to that kind of offense in the second quarter. Livingston had a nice fast break point, a bucket, but the Raptors were good at taking care of the basketball, which I thought was a major key.
Yeah, I felt like in the first half they had some situations where they didn't, but in the second half they cleaned it up and they kind of capitalized on the opportunities. Because I felt like going into halftime, they probably should have been up a little bit more with the way the Warriors were shooting and the amount of turnovers they had, but they were still able to pull off the W. And before we dive into Siakam's game, I thought Marc Gasol was really impressive tonight. And going to the series, I was kind of in question about what his role would be for them to win in the series.
Yeah, I mean, both on the offensive end and on the defensive end, you could feel Gasol's impact in this game. Of course, a former defensive player of the year, he didn't really get lost as much on defense, especially with the Warriors' crazy movement and everything. I didn't really feel like Gasol was completely lost out there, especially because he's one of those big guys who could get sometimes exposed, especially farther away from the basket. But I think he did a fairly good job. Scored 20 points off his own. Scored a couple of threes, free throws from the mid-range. He did really anything that you expect from your role player, or big man, I guess we could define him as. So nothing that the Raptors can complain about, and really something to cheer for if you're Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Marc Gasol was fantastic. 20 points, 7 rebounds. Defensively, I thought he was really good. And that was one of my takeaways, Nick, from the game myself, was the fact that, wow, Marc Gasol might be extremely crucial to this series' impact, where I wasn't sure what his role might have been. And I think actually now he's going to be vital, especially in that first quarter. He had a couple wide open threes. I like the fact that he was getting the wide open threes. We've seen him be a little bit passive in the past series, but tonight he was aggressive. And the minute he had those open looks, he was taking the shots, which I thought was really good. Yeah, Marc Gasol is fantastic. He's a big part of this Raptors win.
Yeah, I'll start with some pros and then some cons on him. I thought pros was the fact that he doesn't have great foot speed, but he was able to use his length and kind of block some of those passes and anticipate where Curry was going to go because they did a great job double teaming him and Fred VanVleet. And then on the threes, like if the Warriors are going to give him wide open looks, he's going to knock them down. All you really have to do is like rush Marc Gasol slightly and he misses his threes. If you go back and watch the game, the two threes he missed, a defender was just taking a step towards him and he had to rush his shot the slightest bit and he ended up missing. So I feel like that was an opportunity where the Warriors just need to be better. Like, yeah, you want Gasol to shoot threes, but there's a difference from wide open threes and slightly contested threes. And I feel like his percentage drops off substantially when it's slightly contested.
No, and the Warriors allowed, or I don't know if it was by design or by accident, but the Warriors allowed way too many open looks from three. And you pointed out how they started doing this from the first quarter. I mean, I understand you gamble on leaving Gasol or whatever, Siakam may be open every now and then, but leaving Danny Green, leaving Kyle Lowry open for three doesn't really make much sense. I pointed out this on a tweet I sent in the middle of the game. I understand doubling in certain situations, putting more pressure on Kawhi, but it's not too smart to leave those guys wide open. And
It's
especially.
interesting. Do you guys think this game was like somewhat of an outlier in terms of the Raptors' productions from the role players? Like you mentioned, Jorge, they put a lot of attention on Kawhi, and Kawhi didn't have a good game. And in most situations, if you look back in the rest of the postseason, the games that Kawhi wasn't really good, the Raptors lost the game. I mean, Siakam's not going to shoot over 80% every game, and a lot of the other Raptors, I don't think, are going to have this type of performance in other games. So do you think this game was somewhat of an outlier, or was just the Raptors stepping up, the Warriors' defense, or what was it? And don't tell me it's a combination of everything.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm wearing a Warriors jersey right now, and that doesn't mean I'm really on their side. It's just I had to use it because it's the one I had for the series. But I do think it's kind of like, I mean, did anyone really expect Pascal Siakam to score 30? He scored 30, what, 34? He had 32, my bad. So he had been less of a factor as the playoffs went further and further, and him coming out. Oh, you want to say something, Corey?
I just want to say that the stats are a little fluky because he got hurt in game 6 against the 76ers, so he wasn't fully healthy those first couple of games in Milwaukee. And yes, Milwaukee's a tough matchup for him to begin with, but he wasn't fully healthy last round. I just want that to be known.
Exactly, which is why I think it's this huge of a surprise that Siakam had really a good game. And it was not him making, you know, the good shots. He also made a couple of crazy, like that layup he made overhand over the backboard. I literally saw the replay and he had his eyes closed. The man wasn't even looking. Like, those are not going to fall, you know, that often. And then, but Fleet was, of course, amazing. Kyle Lowry had another cupcake game, I guess you can call it. So, I mean, if the Raptors players, role players can continue to step up like this, they're in a great spot. But if they don't, or if they can't, that we're still yet to see. But I think it was more of an outlier, if you ask me, not to be the party pooper or anything. But
no, I think that's fair, to be honest. If you look at the sample size of the rest of the postseason, a lot of these guys didn't perform this way, or they all didn't perform this way in the same game. What are you thinking, though, Corey?
I mean, it's an outlier to the Grammy. Pascal Siakam not going to shoot 14 to 17 from the field again. But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is going to be better. I mean, Kyle Lowry was 2 for 9. I like the dog mentality. I thought he was really good defensively. I thought, once again, he was a plus 11, despite only having 7 points. I think he'll shoot better. You know, Fred VanVleet, at this point, I'm going to expect these kind of performances. I mean, he's been lights out for the last 4 games. So, right now, this is who Fred VanVleet is. But, yeah, I guess you're not expecting Siakam to be on scorched earth fire, but if Kawhi plays a little bit better, and even Siakam goes back to like first round Siakam or regular season Siakam, they're still in a good spot. And like, I mean, rotations were different for the Raptors tonight. You know, Norman Powell only played 4 minutes. He played a lot last season. Is that going to continue this series? Is he going to fall out of the rotation now? Serge Ibaka only played a few minutes. I don't know how these guys get used going forward. I expect them to get more minutes. So I don't think I can count out all the production aside from the role players of the Raptors. I think they still have a shot to be productive.
Oh, it was interesting to see Norman Powell only play 4 minutes after having some crucial performances in the previous series.
Yeah.
I want to point out something quickly. I think this is what the Warriors wanted, right? You know, forcing Kawhi out of place and letting their role players beat them. And that's exactly what Toronto did. So it's not like the Warriors, you know, even though, as we mentioned, they probably gave the Raptors way too much space from deep, or to shoot from deep, or way not that easy going back to coverages. They still, you know, the game plan, I suppose, went as planned, which was limiting Kawhi. They certainly did, assuming the man averaged 30-plus points in his previous games in the playoffs. But the Raptors, the offense and the shot making, I mean, you saw that other egregious Fred VanVleet shot that bounced off the glass, and, you know, That's just how things go.
He called bank, so, brother. Come on now.
I don't think he called bank, if you ask me. But, you know, it was just that type of night for the Raptors. And I'm actually happy for them. I actually saw a tweet saying the Raptors are undefeated at all time in the NBA Finals. So you can take that however you want it.
One day. No, I agree. I felt like that Fred VanVleet shot where he kind of like was fading away and banked it in, that kind of summarized the game for me. Like, I don't think that the Raptors bench or their role players are going to all perform this well. But like Corey mentioned, Lowry will probably score a little bit more. Kawhi is going to score a little bit more. But I do think it was a little bit of design, like you said, Jorge. I think one thing that the Warriors, if they could go back and change, it's the first quarter they'd play a little bit better defense. So some of these role players aren't getting those wide open looks and building up that confidence, especially for a guy like Siakam. I felt like as soon as he started getting confidence, especially because he lost him in the Eastern Conference Finals, he gained that back. And now it's really crucial for him for the rest of the series.
Agreed.
Now, 100%. Flipping to the Warrior side, we kind of mentioned this a little bit. It was pretty much Steph Curry and everyone else wasn't really great.
I mean, Draymond Green had a triple-double, but it was not really loud. The 2-for-9 shooting is ugly.
And the 6 turnovers, like Corey pointed out,
6 turnovers. I mean, I kind of like what DeMarcus Cousins did. The shot making wasn't great, but I mean, the team, I think what the team really needs is a hot Klay Thompson game. Because when Klay is not on, I think you know, he did a good job on the defensive end, but he's at his best when he's engaged on both ends. And I think Klay even rushed a couple of shots. Like the first shot of the game, you know, he shot like kind of like weird, a fading away one leg shot. And on the other end, he was coming off a pin down so around screens. And I mean, I know he can make some of these shots, but I don't know if in the finals, without your best player or your top scorer, or whatever, those are the shots you really want to take in the, you know, mid shot clock, not really early or late. So I think the Warriors could have made a couple of better decisions as a team, but they really need Klay to step up. And, you know, once again, credit to the Raptors for the great job they're doing on denying both Klay and Steph, their two top shooters, two of the best shooters of all time. But Klay needs to be better. He should continue to do this good job on defense and just find ways to get some more space on offense or make some shots, because they really need him.
What are you thinking, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I felt like the Warriors' offense was discombobulated all night. Obviously, they shot poorly to start, but it just felt like, and even you tweeted this a few times, like the spacing just to me seemed off. Some of the lineups Kerr threw out there. I mean, he went 11 guys deep really early. I don't even think he knew where he was going to get like, offense from.
It was like 15 minutes into the game, like 3 minutes in the second quarter. And
we're seeing Jonas Jerebko already on the floor. So, I mean, it was one of those games where it was tough to figure out what was the best combination. I thought Curry was as good as he could be. I didn't like Klay. I felt like Klay was just off offensively. Some of the looks you mentioned, Jorge, they were bad looks. Even late, he hit a one-legged jump shot late. I was like, oh, man, that went in, but that was a bad shot. And then Draymond, I think Kawhi did a fantastic job of taking them out of the high pick and roll or just putting pressure on Draymond to have to make some tough decisions. And then just who else can score? I mean, Iggy can't really hit threes. Obviously, Livingston's an issue. I thought McKinney was nice. I liked the minutes McKinney gave. I thought he was a nice spark in the third quarter. But you're lacking. And Kevon Looney's solid. And then Cousins, you know, you said you liked Cousins. I thought Cousins was slow. I didn't like anything from the 8 minutes I saw of Cousins. I don't know if he tore his quad. I don't know how good the quad is. Like, I just have a lot of questions. I actually have more questions following game one than I had going into game one, because I just don't think he has much value this series. He just doesn't look right.
Passing was really good.
It was good. He had the one pass underneath the basket where he found Quinn Cook on the wing, and I thought that was a tremendous look. Yeah.
But not only that, like, he had another nice one he gave with two hands and kind of like, you know, a bounce pass to, I think it was a cutting Klay Thompson. I expected Cousins to go to the finals and kind of look for his old post game and stuff, but he was playing within the Warriors flow, which is something that I'm sure Golden State is happy to see, right? Because you don't really, if you're the Warriors and you have Steph Curry and Klay out there, you don't want another ball stopper when you have those type of players. So I like what Cousins did, because that's maybe because I was expecting something different from him. I was expecting him to be a little bit more ball dominant and call for the ball and be, you know, like that. Of course, he's still slow. He's not the best defender. He doesn't have the most, you know, he's not the most disciplined player on both ends, but still I didn't dislike what I saw from him.
Yeah, and this kind of continues with a question that Kyle Russell asked us: what do you think of Cousins' play tonight? Could he be useful in the series, or should Kerr bench him? I think if you're looking at Cousins, I would try to match up more of his minutes with Marcus Gasol, because he's someone slower out there that he can defend. And I don't think Cousins looked fully comfortable out there posting people up, because I actually think that the Warriors could have used him as a ball stopping option to ISO in the post a little bit, because their scoring got really stagnant and it was so Steph and Klay dependent in terms of like creating offense. But he doesn't look fully healthy, and it's expected. You know, he just blew out his quad. He's not going to come back and just start bodying people in the paint. So it's just kind of be a work in progress. Maybe he'll get closer to where he was, you know, prior to the injury, farther in the series, but I don't think the Warriors should count on him.
But I mean, yeah, just a quick question to reflect. Would you really want an injured DeMarcus Cousins posting up a former Defensive Player of the Year? Like, is that really the type of offense the Warriors want? Like, I understand it was bad, but...
No, I didn't think he played many minutes against Cousins tonight. I mean, against Gasol tonight. So there was opportunities for him to post up smaller guys in the past that he probably would have ate them up, just like barbecue chicken in the past. But tonight he just wasn't looking confident. And that's expected. Like I said, I don't think you go into expectations expecting him to just like put up 25 and 12 in his first finals game after he hasn't played in two series.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like he was looking for a shot tonight either. Like offensively, it felt like he was kind of just seeing where the team was at almost. I mean, I definitely think you don't bench him. I don't think if you're the Warriors, you can really afford to bench him. If this is the offense you. I mean, if Durant comes back, it's a little bit different. But until Durant comes back, I don't think you want to have Cousins sitting on your bench with how the rest of this team was offensively. But I think you want a game two if there is no Durant to try and give Cousins some more touches, at least touches in circumstances in which he's comfortable to try and get some offense going.
You know who I'm trying to play a little bit more of? I'm Steve Kerr, especially because the Raptors go so two guard heavy with Van Vliet and Lowry out there a lot. I'm playing Quinn Cook more.
NBA Finals MVP?
Not about that life. I saw that. What was that? Evan Turner?
Yeah, it was Evan
Yeah.
Turner. I thought about it, and that was like one of my the Norman Powell greeted DeMar DeRozan takes. I was sitting there, I was like, wow, Quinn Cook, Finals MVP.
I just think he can give them a little spacing and somebody who can create a little. I don't think he's an amazing player or any standard, but in this situation where they're just putting out lineups, and we talked about the Raptors defense, and they're essentially just locking in on Klay and Steph and just sucking everybody to the paint, and Draymond and Iguodala are just standing at the 3-point line and not getting any attention. I think you just need someone out there, and even to McKinney to an extent, but I could understand why Kerr maybe wouldn't want to play him because he doesn't have as much experience, where Cook got a good amount of experience last year with the Curry injuries.
No, and when your fifth guy is Jordan Bell, Sean Livingston, Kevon Looney, it's really a three non-shooter lineup, pretty much with Dre and Iggy also there. So I that's actually a really good point, Nick. You're bringing there quick, Cook can bring that as you said, he has the experience and can stretch the floor, and he seems like a good fit. I like that idea actually.
I think if you look at it too, sorry to cut you off, Corey. Any other team in the league, if they're playing just two shooters, like your offense is pretty much screwed. The only way it kind of works for the Warriors is because these guys have crazy amount of gravity. And then, but when only one of them's out there, you can tell there's just no spacing at all.
Definitely.
I actually thought Quinn Cook should have played more than 9 minutes tonight. I actually liked the 9 minutes I saw. I mean, he was obviously 2 for 4 from the field in those 9 minutes. A couple of threes. I liked his aggression. So I have no problem with him getting some more looks. And also, I wanted to say it was an interesting move by Kerr to start Jordan Bell at center instead of Looney tonight. I thought that was an interesting mix up.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think he ended up starting Bell towards the end of the Portland series. But Bell's an interesting player. They could get him to find his rhythm and just get like a little bit more engaged and focused. He could have an impact in the series because he is a really good athlete, and you could tell he helped give them a boost in transition when they were trying to get out to run. But the Raptors did a solid job of kind of trying to slow that down. But he provides them something that the other players in the roster don't have. But without, like, they just need KD really badly. And even if KD's at like 70%, they just need him as a shooter out there because that's how bad the spacing is at certain times. But
Yep, I
what
agree
else
with
are you
that.
thinking on the Warrior side in terms of players impressed and didn't impress? What are you thinking?
Oh, there's something I want to point out. The Warriors did such a really bad job because there were a couple of times when Curry was left all alone in the paint, like in a super like bad mismatch against Siakam, even Ibaka and Marc Gasol. You need to get Curry out of there, or if you cannot get him out of there, send some help. I mean, I can recall at least three or four possessions off the top of my head where Curry literally got bullied down low, quick 2, 3 seconds, boom, easy hook, easy score, easy layup. So you don't want one, Curry getting banged up playing that type of defense, and two, giving up those easy points inside. They really need to make a better job. It's hard when you have different Raptors shooters outside, but still, you can't give up that easy of a basket multiple times. In a game.
And I think that's credit to the Raptors offense, in terms of their basketball IQ, they're really smart. And this is a defense that the Warriors have thrown at teams like the Rockets, at James Harden. They did that to Kawhi tonight, but the Raptors were able to adjust because there's a lot of veterans and a lot of really smart players out there. We talk about Siakam being really good in terms of play. He's actually really smart too.
Yeah, definitely. Top 25 player.
I mean, he's playing. I mean, if he puts up a couple more performances like this, I think it's an easy case to make. And defensively, he was really good. And the fact is, he didn't just score transition or because other guys were getting attention. He had a couple isolation situations with Draymond Green, and he took him to school.
Yeah.
No, and
So.
even though I think that Kawhi, and even I'm missing the name of somebody. It was Kawhi And yeah, oh, Siakam was the other one I noticed, even though they were not finding their teammates, because I noticed in certain sets, literally there was a Raptor wide open. And as Leonard and Siakam didn't really find them at the right time where they could get an open shot. It really hurt them because they were making other shots. They were otherwise moving the ball relatively well. But I think if the Raptors are able to exploit those, like, more of the wide open looks that the Raptors, that the Warriors defense is giving them, it's going to be a tough series for Golden State.
Now, guys, before we get out of here, any adjustments you want to see from either team going into game two and any predictions you want to throw out there for game two? Quick 60 seconds.
I don't really think the Warriors should change anything they did, because as I said, the role players had just magnificent game. I doubt that will happen again. And I expect the Warriors to come up with some type of switch to try and get more spacing in there, try to get Curry, Clay more looks. So I'm giving game two to Warriors and an overtime win.
I almost want to go like crazy, like not crazy overall, but like I would almost like start Cousins in game two. And I know that might be like really dumb, and I know that's going against everything I just said about what I saw tonight, but I almost feel like I would just start him out, even if it's just like the first 3 minutes, just to see if maybe he can put some different pressure on Marc Gasol, or even just get like a confidence boost or something. But overall, like I agree, Jorge, there's not much the Warriors should change. I thought they were pretty much in this game. Majority of the game got a little bit out of hand late, but they just missed shots. And then from the Raptors' perspective, Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard should probably hit shots in game two, right? That's probably the expectation. So I don't think anything changes. I think game two does go to Golden State. I think they get game two. I don't think we see Durant till game three.
Yeah, I think it would make sense not to see Durant to game three. And I wouldn't be opposed necessarily to starting Cousins for the first 3 minutes, because there's a possibility of getting him going, or he could benefit a lot from having Clay and Curry out there at the same time playing with him. So now he's getting easier looks and he's creating some gravity inside. Not that he's going to be a dominant force, but he can finish inside. But the other side of that would be, are you scared that Cousins is going to hurt them defensively? Because I think one thing, if I'm Golden State, I need to play better defense this game. The Raptors aren't an amazing offensive team. Like, you should be limiting them more, especially with the way they played. A lot of it, like I said, was getting confidence early in the game. They just need to play with more energy. And it just felt like the Raptors wanted this more, and they knew this was more of a must-win situation, where the Warriors were kind of like, we've been to the finals so many times, and this is just like, let's feel it out.
I agree.
But all right, guys, that wraps it up for the Game 1 recap. As always, appreciate everybody listening, checking us out, watching the show, whatever it may be. You can check out OTG at OTG Basketball. A lot of great finals content out there. And also, we got T-shirts at DesignTree/OffTheGlass. Make sure to check that out. Corey and I rocking that today. And as always, nice talking to you guys.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.
See y'all.